listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tennis in 10 podcast. This is Ed McGrogan here to recap the latest at the U.S. Open. Apologies for no podcast yesterday, given the early morning hours that Wawrinka and Del Potro stretched out to and the fact that I was covering that match. The podcast just was not going to happen yesterday. So I hope, all that said, I think last night's quarterfinals between Andy Murray's loss, between the early morning really marathon between Wawrinka and Del Potro, that could have gone much longer. It only went four sets after all. And it, you know, so much going on that day. Of course, Serena and Halep too. You know, in the middle of those stories, plenty on the site that I hope you did check out. I really like the work that we've been doing during the term. I hope you guys do too. I hope you. And if you have any, you know, thoughts about it, let us know. I also want to really know about, you know, maybe your feelings on this Tennis in 10 format for the podcast after the Open as well. I think it's worked out pretty nicely, not too onerous, but I think it gets the job done. So that said, I want to move right into the women's final, which we know is now Angelique Kerber, the new number one in the world come Monday, against Karolina Pliskova, who defeats Serena Williams, who denies her the shot at passing Steffi Graf with 23 Grand Slams, who officially ends her reign at number one. You know, really, I guess technically it is Kerber who really ends the reign, but Pliskova seals that outcome with a 6-2, 7-6 victory in the semis, you know, second year in a row for Serena to lose in the final four at the Open. It couldn't have come against two more different players. You had Vinci last year, who played all, you know, heavy slice, who varied up her shot making to really kind of flummox Serena. And against Pliskova this year, you know, it was really her coming out party for fans who hadn't seen her play. Flat, like the world is flat, truther style, forehands, backhand too, serve too. I mean, it's a matter of her, the timing has to be flawless, and when it is, you're getting a very, very difficult challenge. And now over the past two tournaments, which she won Cincinnati coming into the Open, and, you know, on her way to the final now in Flushing Meadows, she's defeated Kerber, she's defeated Muguruza, she's defeated Serena. And, oh, if you didn't pick up on that, that's the previous three Grand Slam champions from this year. So it would be quite fitting for Pliskova to build on this victory. Serena has been, Patrick Mouratoglou, her coach, did want to acknowledge that she was not feeling at 100% given an injury. But you know, also I'm looking kind of, I'm trying to think back at Serena's game. It's just, you know, the serve was the big story of this match. It was what Serena was really unable to do on serve, which is so surprising and uncharacteristic. And it was what Pliskova was able to do. Pliskova gave Serena one break point. And as I said in my piece on the match, you know, if Serena finishes with a conversion percentage of 100% on break points, she's winning that match, except when she only gets one of those opportunities. So she didn't get in until midway through the third set. By that point, Pliskova really had established kind of the rhythm of she was dictating the rallies. This was not Serena hugging the baseline and really calling the shots with this. You had a lot of answers from Pliskova, a lot of, in, you know, a lot of assertiveness and a lot of trust in her shots. That's one thing that we so often see against Serena Williams, is players really not trusting what's gotten them there in the first place. And that was not the case with Pliskova at all, who, you know, who would go down the line with a forehand, who would, you know, who'd be happy to trade back and forth backhands with Serena, because she, you know, clearly had confidence in her strokes, and by this point, why not? You know, her answers to her responses to some of the questions post-match are very matter-of-fact. I think that's just kind of her style in general, but it goes along with her game, that it's a player who is very focused, who has one track, and we saw really the best of it tonight against Serena Williams, who will seed the number one rank, as it says, to Angelique Kerber. Kerber, you know, after Serena's match, goes on to defeat Caroline Wozniacki, and she was now in her third Grand Slam final of the season. And no matter what happens to Kerber in the final, and I'm expecting, quite honestly, a more competitive match than what we saw from Serena and Pliskova tonight. I think, you know, anybody who is really sort of doubting, who is not on, you know, the belief that Kerber is really one of the game's five best players by now, you know, rankings, whatever they may be, this, you know, this run at the slams for her has just been fantastic. And it's really, you know, the issue with her in her career was, I think, consistency within the game and within, you know, the points, but it was not consistency from tournament to tournament. And certainly Kerber has turned that around this year. She really had not too much trouble with Wozniacki tonight. It took a 4-0 lead, had a point for 5-0, ended up actually winning that set 6-4. So it went a little bit deeper than you might have thought, and wins it 6-4, 6-3. Kerber versus Pliskova in the women's final, and we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, you know, the day before, once we know the men's final as well. And, you know, while we're here, I do want to get just briefly into the men's semis. We didn't have really a chance to after yesterday's events. First up tomorrow is Djokovic versus Monfils, 3 p.m. Eastern, followed by Nishikori and Wawrinka. Djokovic and Monfils, it's funny, I don't remember them playing each other that often. By this stage of the tournament, you're often, you know, seeing lots of matchups that you recall beforehand. And, you know, this one's an interesting case, given that I wouldn't say Djokovic has... we know that I think he's coming into this match probably the most confident he's been all tournament, and he hasn't played much all tournament, as has been well documented. For Monfils, you know, the story is that this is a more dedicated player. This is someone who realizes the talents that he has and the opportunity that's in front of him, and I do hope that might come, you know, and bring forth something of really an unexpected result at this game and in this match, because I still really give a very sizable edge to this Djokovic. You know, it's really been a tournament where Djokovic, truthfully, I think, has been overlooked, and that's, you know, a lot because of things out of his control, of course. But I think we may finally see something of the Djokovic that we've, you know, have really been watching for the past couple of years. You know, I think that as much as Monfils realizes what's in front of him, Djokovic does too. And, you know, to take another step up toward the ranks of Roger and Rafa in the Grand Slam title count with two more wins is a huge chance for him. Match afterward, Wawrinka and Nishikori. This one, you know, given how well Stan played against Del Potro, I do like Stan in this. You know, certainly Nishikori against Murray, that's equally as impressive a victory, probably more so given Murray's form. But I'm going to go with Wawrinka here. Both experience at this level, but I think Stan, you know, kind of just, you know, when he's clicking, it's tough for anyone to beat. So We'll stop there for now. We'll talk tomorrow on the Tennis in 10 podcast. Thank you for listening.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.